words of welcome. Lord Marks, we
are delighted to see you all. And it's good to see so many in again tonight. If this is your first night, thank you for coming. And as Mark said, don't forget about the meeting tomorrow night and also on the Lord's Day as well. We're delighted to see you. But welcome you all and thank you for coming tonight. Thank you as well for your prayers. For those who came a little earlier and prayed, the Lord certainly helped in the time of prayer again tonight. And we want to thank you for your prayers. Do continue to pray for these meetings, please. I want you to turn with me this evening again to the Old Testament and to the book of Ruth. Little book of Ruth, towards the start of the Old Testament. Joshua, Judges, and then Ruth. And we continue this evening looking at the theme of grace, the grace of God in the Gospel. We started that last night, looking at it in the account of the life of Noah. And we want to come and look at it again this evening, as we find it here in the book of Ruth. I want to read together, please, from Ruth chapter 2. Ruth chapter 2. And we'll read the first 17 verses. Young people, give attention to the reading of the Word of God. Follow along with us. That's a vital and important part of any worship service. Just as much as the preaching, we need to hear the written Word of God. And so Ruth chapter 2 and the verse number 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech. And his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, and was of the kindred, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. She said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of them which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, saying, I am a stranger? And Boaz said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother, and the land of thy nativity, and art come on to a people which thou knowest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, let me find favour in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. And Boaz said unto her, at mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Amen. We'll end there at verse number 17, and we pray the Lord will bless his word as it's been read to us tonight. Let's just seek the Lord, please, in a word of prayer, and let's pray together. The Lord would be with us tonight. The Lord would speak to our hearts. It's our prayer tonight, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that tonight you'd come and find him. You'd come and experience this grace of God we were looking at last night, and by the help of God we'll look at tonight. Let's all pray. Eternal God and our Father, we thank thee for thy presence with us already tonight. We thank the Lord for help given to the girls as they have sung to us. We thank the Lord for those lovely messages and song. Lord, we pray you'll encourage them, bless them, Lord, in their ministry. We thank the Lord for the singing together of these hymns. Lord, the name of Christ has been uplifted already. And, O God, we pray now for help in the preaching of the word of God. We ask, O God, that tonight you be pleased to come. Lord, take this vessel of clay. Use us, Lord, to thy glory and to thine honour. Lord, we need thee tonight. O God, I pray for the touch of the Master's hand. Lord, touch the lips of this preacher, Lord, with that life call from off the altar. Give us help to preach as we ought to preach. O God, we pray that you'll fill us, Lord, with power from on high. Lord, we need thee. Realize, O God, our own inadequacy as we come to handle the scriptures of truth. But, O God, we thank thee tonight that we can look to thee. Lord, give us that help that we need. Give us help to hear. And Lord, we pray tonight for each one in this meeting. Lord, for those that are saved. We pray, Lord, that thy word will come with freshness and power and encouragement to our hearts tonight. And, O God, we pray tonight for those out of Christ without a Savior. O God, we pray that tonight thy word, Lord, the application of the Spirit of God tonight, Lord, will take that word, apply it to some heart. And Lord, that tonight someone in this meeting will come to faith in Jesus Christ. Come and experience Jesus Christ, who is the only Savior. O God, we pray that you'll turn many to thyself this evening, we pray. O God, we pray for conviction of sin. We pray, Lord, that tonight you'll be pleased to come. And Lord, do that work which only thou canst do. O God, open hearts, we pray. Save the lost. And glorify thy name. So hear and answer prayer. Give us help now. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. I wonder tonight, young people, if I were to ask you, what is the most wonderful, what is the most amazing thing that has ever happened to you in your life? I wonder what your answer would be. Or if I were to ask you, perhaps, what is the most amazing thing that you have ever discovered, the most wonderful thing that you have ever found out, what would your answer be? Throughout our lives, we can be amazed by different things. Taken aback by different things. Amazed by how quickly things change in life. Amazed how quickly people change in life, and even how quickly we change in life. But tonight, as we come to the gospel, I want us to consider something that should always amaze us. And that is continuing on from the theme that we looked at last night. And as we come particularly to the words of Ruth chapter 2 and the verse 10. It is this astonishment and this continued amazement at the grace of God in a life. In Ruth chapter 2 and the verse 10. Ruth asks this most heart-searching question. This most profound question. And she says, why have I found grace in thine eyes? Here was Ruth, who was an outcast, who was a stranger, who was a nobody really. And yet she was amazed that she found grace. She was astounded that she found grace. Young people, right away, here is the mark of someone whose life has been transformed by the grace of God. Someone whose life has been changed by the grace of God. A life saved by grace, will always be amazed by that grace of God that has reached and saved you. If you're saved this evening, young people, never lose the wonder of your salvation. Never lose the amazement and the wonder that the grace of God should save you and change you and turn your life around. Here is that which is most amazing of all, that God should save a sinner like you and me. Why have I found grace? Why am I saved? Why am I redeemed? Why are my sins forgiven? It's all found in that word in verse 10 again, grace. Grace. The grace of God. This grace that Ruth was amazed at. And I pray that this evening, each one of us in this meeting, like Ruth, we would all be amazed by grace. And this evening, if you're in this meeting without Jesus Christ, may you realize just how amazing the grace of God is, that he should love you and send his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be your Savior. If tonight finds you without Christ, tonight finds you in this gospel meeting, we're glad to see you and thank you so much for coming. May you be amazed at this fact, that while you were born a sinner, as the scriptures tell us, and as we considered last night, as God saw the heart of man, it was evil, it was wicked. And God looks into your heart tonight and he sees sin, yet God in his grace sent his Son to be your Savior, to redeem you and to save you from sin. May you tonight be amazed by grace, just as Ruth was. But let's consider a little of the events that lead up to this question in verse number 10, where Ruth asks, why have I found grace in thine eyes? The first thing I want you to see here this evening is that there is the search for grace. The search for this grace. In verse number 2, we find Ruth going and searching for grace. Read in verse 2, Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. Here's someone who's been awakened to their need of grace. A work of grace has taken part and taken place in their life. She knew she needed it. She knew she needed something she didn't have. She knew that her life without this grace was empty, was meaningless. Young people, tonight you may be here because someone has invited you along. You might be here tonight because someone has asked you to come to these meetings. And if that's the case, thank you. But I believe you're here tonight not just because someone has asked you along. You're here tonight because you realize that in your sin and how you stand tonight before God, there's something missing in your life. There's an emptiness, there's a void in your life. Your life's not complete. I don't know you tonight. But maybe, like so many in this world, realizing the emptiness and the void that there is in our lives, maybe you've tried to fill that void with other things. Maybe you've tried to fill that void with alcohol. Maybe you've tried to fill that void with drugs, with partying, with socializing, with living life to the full, as you would describe it. But here you are tonight, in a gospel meeting, and your life is still empty. You haven't found what you've been searching for in the world. See, each one of us are searching. Ruth was searching for something more than she already had. And I wonder tonight, is there a young man, young woman, and you're in this meeting, you're searching for purpose, for meaning, for value in your life. As we think of this search for grace, notice her activity in this search. In verse 2, she says, "Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace." Ruth has arrived here with nothing. She's a stranger from Moab. She was seen as a nobody and a nothing. She was despised and she was rejected. As far as the people were concerned, she was a pagan and she had nothing to claim by right. And so she sets herself on the task of hunting for food and seeking some form of acceptance. And into those barley fields she says, "Let me now go." You see, there was an activity. There was a searching. And folks, when it comes to the matter of salvation, we believe salvation is all of grace. We believe that salvation is all of God. But as we read in Matthew 7 and 14, there needs to be that striving on the part of the sinner. There needs to be that striving to enter in. There needs to be that longing. In fact, that word strive, as we have it in Matthew 7:14, means to agonize. Means to long. It means to push past those things that you already have. And maybe tonight there's someone in this meeting, and you need to get past those things that are hindering you from coming to Christ. Maybe you need to get past those things that are holding you back from giving your heart and life wholly and entirely to the Lord. You need to get past those people, perhaps, that are holding you back from giving your life to the Lord. Maybe there are friends in your life and you think, "Well, if I were to get saved, they would disown me. And they wouldn't want anything to do with me. And I would miss out on my way of life." So now you need to get past those. Young person, you need to get past that. Whatever friendship, whatever relationship it is that's keeping you from coming to Christ, you need to get past it. You need to be done with it. Because I tell you this, there's no friend in this world that is worth going to hell because of. There's no relationship in this world that is worth you losing your soul in hell because you wouldn't let go of it. Here was Ruth. And she realized there was something she needed to do. "Let me now go." Young person tonight, there's something you need to do in this meeting. And you need to get past the hindrances. You need to get past the obstacles in your life. You need to get to Christ. You need to be saved. We see her activity in the search, but we see as well her appetite in the search. Ruth realized there was a hunger in her life. She realized that she needed something she didn't have. Her life without this grace was nothing. Her life without the grace of God had no meaning. And her life without the provision that God's grace had made would be in vain. Maybe this evening, young person, you're thinking in your seat as you sit there, "I found the meaning to life. I know what this life is all about." Can I earnestly and honestly say to you, if you're not saved tonight and you do not know Christ as your Savior, you do not know what life is really about. Your life tonight, young person, is empty. Your life, young person, without Christ is meaningless. And it's only going one place, and that's to a lost eternity. I'm sure Ballymena is no different to where I minister in Belfast. And how often we see and hear of young lives that are wrecked and ruined by sin. Young people just like you, who thought they found the meaning to life. The end of a beer can. Or by some needle going into their veins. And they thought that was life, and they realized that's not life. Oh, that tonight you would have an appetite for the things of God. Oh, that tonight you'd realize that your life is devoid of real purpose and meaning. There's her activity, her appetite in the search, but notice as well her anticipation. In verse number 2, she says, I shall find grace. I shall find grace. She would be satisfied when she found that which she was really looking for. And we'll see that as we come to the end of this chapter tonight. She anticipated that her life with the grace of God would be complete. She knew it would be. And I tell you this evening, you seek and you search after God. And you realize before God, just as Ruth realized that she was a nothing and she was a nobody, she had nothing to bring to this at all of herself. And when you realize, young person, that you're a sinner in the sight of God, and you search after the Lord, for every seeking sinner, there's a seeking Savior. Scripture say, they shall seek me and shall find me when they shall search for me with their whole heart. You get to Jesus Christ tonight, you will not be disappointed. You get past those obstacles, those people that are holding you back, you will not be disappointed, young person. I can assure you of that. There will be many things in your life you will regret. Many things in my life I regret. But the one thing I never regretted, as we said last night, was that day, the child of 7 coming to Christ in salvation. You come to Jesus Christ tonight, he'll save you. Him that cometh to me, that's the wonderful promise of the gospel. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Maybe you think you don't need to be saved. You come to Christ, he'll save you. He'll not turn you away. You see Christ tonight in salvation, he'll save you. He'll pardon you. Your search will be rewarded. You'll find his salvation. Because the scriptures remind us that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And oh, that tonight you'd realize in this meeting just how lost you are. And as you turn to Christ, that you'll find his salvation. There is this search for grace. But as we come into this chapter more, I want us to see not only the search for grace, but I want us to see the supply of grace. The supply of grace. Ruth's search for grace was not in vain. She found it. But she found it not in a place, rather she found it in a person. And that person we come across in verse number 1 of chapter 2 and in other verses as well that we read. And his name was Boaz. That's where she found grace. And as we said last night, remember, All of Scripture speaks of Christ. And Boaz is another wonderful picture and type of Christ. Last night we were thinking of the ark as being the type of Christ. Here's Boaz as a wonderful type of Christ. And before we come to look at Boaz tonight, let me say right at the very start here, you will only find grace, the grace of God that you need in salvation, in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ and in Him alone. You'll not find it in this church. And you'll not find it in the church down the road either. You'll not find it in yourself. You'll not find it in anything you have or anything you can do. You'll only find it, young person, in Jesus Christ. Boaz, as we see from verse 4, came from Bethlehem, of course, the place of Christ. But there are some things that I want us to consider for just a moment as we consider how Boaz speaks to us of Christ. How Boaz points to us that Christ is the only supply of grace. All the grace that we have from God comes to us through Jesus Christ, God's Son. First of all, notice his riches. In verse number 1, we read of Boaz, he was a mighty man of wealth. He was a rich man. He had lots of this world's wealth. But far greater than that, there is the Lord Jesus Christ, who the scriptures tell us was rich. Was rich. He who owns the cattle on a thousand hills, the wealth in every mine. He who is the Creator God. He who was rich, yet for our sakes became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. You see, we have nothing to offer to God. We were spiritually bankrupt. But Christ, who is rich, yet for our sakes became poor and lived that life of humility upon this earth and died that awful death upon the cross. Why? That we, the sinner, through his poverty, might be made rich unto God. We see his riches, we see his relatives. In verse 1 as well, we find that he was a kinsman of her husband. Speaking of Ruth, here's the vital link here that qualified Boaz to be Ruth's redeemer. To be the one who would supply and meet all her needs. His relationship to Naomi's husband Elimelech, Ruth's father-in-law. According to law, the kinsman had to have a connection with the one that he was going to provide for and support and sustain. For that one who was in trouble, there had to be a connection there, a family link. And here for Ruth, the connection was through Naomi. And remember again, Ruth is an outcast, and yet by divine decree and divine planning, she's brought into this relationship with Boaz. She would never have had that relationship. She'd never had that standing as a Moabitess. She would have remained as an outcast. What a wonderful picture tonight that paints to us of Christ. Christ, who is our greater kinsman. You see, Christ, by his coming into this world, took into union with that divine nature of his, our human nature. He became man in order to redeem man, that we might have that relationship with God that we by nature do not have. Christ became man. He took flesh and blood in order to be our redeemer. And young people, and we're coming up to that time of the year again, and we sing the Christmas carols and all of that, and that's fine. But that story is not just a fanciful story for us to repeat and to celebrate at one time of the year. It is the linchpin of the entire scheme of redemption, because Christ had to become man in order to be our Redeemer. Christ is our only Redeemer tonight. Because there is that connection with God, he is God. When he came into this world, he became man. Perfect man, true man, real man. And that's the connection tonight that we have. You see, Jesus Christ is just not, as some will tell us, a good man. He was. There are many tonight, many false cults, and they will talk about the good deeds of Jesus Christ. We can't deny that. He wasn't just a gracious man, and he was. Jesus Christ tonight is the God-man. Why? That we might be redeemed. He is the only one who is uniquely and only qualified to be our Savior. He bridges that gap between God and man. That's why tonight you will not find salvation in anywhere else or in anyone else but Jesus Christ. There is no one else that can save you. There is no one else where you will find the grace of God but in Jesus Christ. His relatives, his riches. But notice as well his recognition. Come to verse 5. And here's Boaz, and he's in the field with the reapers, and Ruth is in this part of the field as well. And look what he says in verse 5. Whose damsel is this? Now think about it, the field would have been full of reapers. It was harvest time, the field would have been crowded with many workers. Yet Boaz took notice of the individual. He took notice of Ruth, the one person. You see, young person tonight, salvation is not a corporate thing. Salvation is something which is intensely personal. Your mum and dad might be saved. And if they are, you should thank God for it. Your friends might be saved. But you need to have this personal relationship with God through Christ yourself. Christ came to save individuals. Christ came to save people like you and me. He's interested in the individual. He saw the one. He saw Ruth. And he said, whose damsel is this? He had the interest in the one person. Interest in the individual. And you read through the earthly ministry of Christ, and how often he stopped and took time with the individual. Jesus Christ tonight, young person, is interested in you. He desires, he longs to save you. He came to save sinners personally and individually. The hymn asked the question, was it for me? For me alone. And thank God it was for me the Savior died. It was for me he came into this world. Lived that life of obscurity. Died that awful death on the cross. It was for me. Yes, all for me. He was interested in the individual. And tonight, young person in this meeting, the Lord is interested in you. How do I know? Because he gave his life to save you from your sin. He's interested in the individual tonight. You might think this evening, I'm young. I'm still at school. Or I'm at work and Well, it doesn't really matter. The Lord is interested in you tonight. Never think that because you might be young, that the Lord isn't interested in you. I thank God that as a child of 7, the Lord was interested in me and saved me. Verse 7, we see his response. He said, I pray you let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and continued, even from morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Verse 8, then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence. In other words, you've found what you're looking for. Don't go anywhere else. Young person, can I plead with your soul? Whatever you do tonight, having heard your need to be saved, think that there's another way. You can go out of this meeting and find another way to find peace and find the grace of God. You'll never find it in this world. You'll only find it in Christ. Don't go anywhere else. Just get to Christ. This was the only place she was going to find the grace of God. It was only in Boaz's field that she was going to find it. Only in Boaz. And tonight, you'll only find salvation, forgiveness of your sins in Christ. That searching, that emptiness, will only be filled by Jesus Christ. Go not to glean in another field. Young person, don't go out of this meeting tonight into the field of the world and think that you'll find there something that you'll not find in Christ. Don't go into the field of the world in the workplace tomorrow and think you'll find something more. Find something better. Until you find Christ, you will not find true peace and contentment. Finally, there is the satisfaction of grace. We come down to verse 10 and she asks that question, why have I found grace in thine eyes? She's a stranger, yet Boaz took knowledge of her. Why have you cared for me? Why have you looked after me? Why are you so interested in me? She was amazed by grace. Having realized that she could only find it in Boaz, she was amazed that she found it at all. Very quickly, time has gone. Let me leave these thoughts with you. Verse 14, we see in this satisfaction there's an invitation. And Boaz said unto her, at mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. At mealtime, come thou hither. Come. We thought of that last night as well. That most precious word in the gospel, come. Come. There was food in this invitation, eat of the bread. Come tonight to Christ, who is the bread of life. There's also fellowship. Verse 14, at the second part of it, it says, and she sat. She sat beside the reapers. And he, that is Boaz, reached her parched corn, and she did eat. It was sufficed and left. There was fellowship. In this place beside Boaz. She had found what she was searching for. She had found satisfaction. And she was sufficed. She found all that her soul longed for. I close this evening by coming back to what I trust we have taken from these thoughts, few as they may have been, on the life of Ruth in this chapter 2. She went searching, and she was satisfied when she found the longing of her soul to be met in Christ. And Boaz, who speaks of Christ. Young person this evening, you will never be disappointed by giving your heart and life to Jesus Christ. The day of your salvation will be the greatest day of your life. Whether you're in your teens, later on, or before that, it doesn't matter what age you are. The day you find Christ, the day the Lord saves you, will be the greatest day of your life. You will be satisfied. You'll want for nothing more. Ruth sat beside Boaz, and she ate, and she was satisfied. She had far more at the end of this meeting and this encounter with Boaz than she ever had. Verse 17 reads that she had an ephah of barley. She had nothing before this. She had nothing. Her life was empty. But when she found what she was looking for, her life was full. Young person this evening, you come to Jesus Christ, your life will be full. You think, well, how can I deal with all of those things that you think are obstacles in your life? The Lord will take care of those things. The most important thing tonight is that you get your heart and life right with Jesus Christ. You experience the grace of God, and you'll only experience that through Christ. Oh, that tonight you realize how empty your life is in sin, and that there's nothing in this world will satisfy you. Only Christ will satisfy your soul. May you tonight, like Ruth, say, why have I found grace in thy sight? But the wonderful truth of the gospel is that tonight you can find this grace. You can find Christ. As you search for him, you turn to him, he will save you. He'll bring you, and he'll forgive your sin, and he'll give you life with purpose, life with meaning. He gives life, but he gives abundant life. True life. Life that is worth the living. Will you come to him tonight? Let's bow in prayer. Again this evening, I want to thank you for your attention. We appreciate you being here. We really do. But I wonder if you come tonight, come to this meeting without the Saviour, empty, with a life that's void of any meaning, purpose, like Ruth's life was, you can leave this meeting tonight with Christ. Your life can be full. You can be satisfied if you will come to him. You want to speak about the things of God? You have a spiritual concern, you'd love to be saved. You'd love to experience the grace of God.
And you can do that tonight. Reverend Stewart and Reverend Greer are here. Youth leaders are here. I'm here. Any one of us, only too happy to speak with you. But whatever you do tonight, don't go into another field looking, thinking you'll find satisfaction somewhere else. You'll not find it. You'll only find it in Christ. If you want to be saved tonight, if you have a desire and a concern in your heart, come to Him. Don't put it off. Don't say, well, I'll think about it and come back tomorrow night. Don't do that. There's not one of us knows what a day or an hour will bring. If you're concerned and troubled, get it sorted tonight. Come now. Eternal God and our Father, we thank Thee for Thy word this evening. We thank the Lord for the grace of God as we have seen it evidenced in the life of Ruth. We thank the Lord that in Boaz she found all that her soul longed for. And O God, we thank Thee tonight that in our greater Boaz, in Christ Himself, every need of the longing heart is met. O God, we thank Thee that You meet that greatest need, the need of forgiveness of sins. O God, we thank Thee this evening that You're our only Redeemer, our only Savior. And O God, we pray that tonight some young person this evening who's come into this meeting without the Savior, come in empty. May they go away full and satisfied, having found Jesus Christ in salvation. We leave, Lord, these matters with Thee. Lord, this is the work of God, the Holy Spirit, to strive, to convict, and to convert. Therefore, O God, tonight, do Thine own work. Save some young person tonight, we pray. May they find Christ in this place. May they come, give their heart and life to Him tonight. Lord, we leave the issues now at this meeting with Thee. We ask, O God, that the Word of God might not fall to the ground, be forgotten. Guard our conversations afterwards as well, we pray. O God, we pray that the good seed of the Word of God might not be taken away. O God, we pray that Thy Word will be hidden deep within our hearts. That's the time of fellowship, good things prepared. But, O God, we pray most of all that this evening there'll be someone in this meeting that come and find Jesus Christ, the one who is the bread of life, the one who satisfies the seeking soul. That's Thy word, we pray. Take up our thanks for Thy presence with us tonight. And Lord, work on and strive on. And then, Lord, a little later, part us all in the fear and the blessing of Almighty God, in whose name we pray. Amen.